Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning we celebrate the Sunday before the Nativity of Christ, on which we remember all of the Holy Fathers before Christ. And when we hear all this list of names, it ought to cause us to think a little bit broader, even than the length and breadth of this list. Because really what we're getting here is presented to us a picture of all the kinds of preparation that went into the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We heard in the epistle lesson this morning of all the things that the holy people went through, and they did not even get to see the coming of Christ. And we hear all these names, but this isn't all that was going on. This isn't the only thing that was happening in the whole wide world. In fact, when we look and try and see what was required for the Christ to be able to enter into this world in our humanity, it is not only these names, it is not only the people that we heard of in the epistle and all the wondrous things that they went through, that they suffered in order for Christ to be able to come, but it is also everything else that was going on anywhere else in the whole wide world and beyond, in all of creation. So what comes to mind for me when I think about that, because I have lots of conversations with people who wonder why things happen. Is there any purpose to things? Is there any meaning to what's going on all around us, especially when we find difficult things going on in our lives? A little phrase that comes to mind, I forget who the person to be quoted is, but it is, nothing is wasted in God's economy. Now, we know what an economy is. We know it because we have a suffering economy. But that isn't what the word economy means in the fullest sense. The word economia has to do with running a household. And so the household of God, the household of the creation of the world, the household of everything from the beginning of time until the end, is under the influence of the maker of all these things. So nothing being wasted in God's economy says that God will use everything in God's creation that can be used for his ends to come to fruition. So we look and we say, yeah, but how does that happen? And we can wonder about those things. And the big dilemma for us, which everybody seems to forget all the time, is the glitch of our free will. How does man's free will fit into that? How do the messes that we make get to be used by God for good? And that will always be the case, because in the end, the God who made everything cannot be outwitted, he cannot be fooled, he cannot be sinned greater than he can repair and restore. So all of what we find coming until Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, who will enter into our flesh, fully God and fully man, in order to be able to transform or to restore what it means for us to be human beings, all of that, right up to the Virgin Mary, every single event, every single dot, atom, however you want to describe it, black hole, all of those things had to be just in order for the coming of Christ. So when we hear on Christmas Day of the Gospel begin with, and when the fullness of time had come, that fullness of time includes everything imaginable. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. So now we find ourselves members of the body of Christ. We find ourselves members of the church that he sent when he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We find ourselves living in what looked to be the times after the coming of Christ, right? Well, somewhat right, if we're talking about his first coming. But very wrong if we're not including his second coming. So what we find is that what was going on before the coming of Christ, and we find Christ appears, and we find he lives and does everything that he does, all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, all the way to his ascension into heaven, and all the way to that pouring out of the Spirit. Yet in this world, none of those things will be fully completed until he comes again. We hear in the creed that we'll say in a few moments of that second coming, of our looking forward to that day. And do you know what? In the same fashion that nothing was wasted in God's economy for that first coming of Christ, nothing is being wasted in God's economy for his second coming. And so when we look around and we wonder, oh, look at the world and how terrible and how tragic and how troubling it can be for us, we want to understand that just in the fashion that nothing was able to get in the way of the first coming of Christ, but preparation was necessary, nothing will get in the way of His second coming, and preparation is happening right now. Now, we don't understand exactly how that's going to work. We don't know what it looks like for the world to be just right and ready for Christ's second coming. But we do want to know that wherever we find ourselves, it is not only in God's economy that nothing is wasted, but it's also true of our own economy. It is also true when we look at our own preparation, when we look at how we live, when we look at how we prepare for the things we prepare for, and when we look at how, as members of the body of Christ, we may find ourselves either preparing or not preparing for His second coming. So we get to look and say, okay, in my economy, how are things proceeding? You know, am I calling out for Christ's return? Am I laying some kind of path, as we hear John the Baptist proclaim, you know, make way, make straight the way of the Lord? That is our job. Our job is to make straight the way of the Lord for His return. And the way that we do that is first by preparing ourselves inwardly, and then when by the grace of God we might find ourselves somehow sufficient to something beyond that, then we get to open our mouths and speak and maybe even try and share the wonder of what God has done for us. So that's our job, brothers and sisters. Our job is to look and see, have I sufficiently prepared myself? Have I looked to let God work in me so that I become full enough in a fullness of time, full enough to be able to speak? If when the fullness of time had come, Christ came into the world, well, when the fullness or time for each of us comes, we too might even have something to say about all this. And that's our job. It's our job to be His voice. It's our job to be His hands and His feet. It's our job to be a presence, to be a powerful presence in this world of God and His goodness and His love and His mercy and forgiveness. But that won't happen until we are full enough, until we are ready. And so we want to consider the possibility that maybe we haven't even noticed that. That you are here to be a prophet. You are here to be a missionary. You are here to be a proclaimer, an evangelizer. But you can't do that. We can't do that. None of us can do that, personally speaking, until we have something to say. And we won't have something to say until we are fully prepared. But in that same sense, God is going to wait on us. He's in no hurry. He has all the time in the world. We may not. So, what we ought to be doing, what we want to consider the possibility of, is that the things I'm saying may be true. And if they are, you might want to look and see, well, what would it look like for me to be trying to fill myself up sufficiently? And many of you have had this experience. How many of you have ever thought, boy, I'd like to be able to say something to this friend or that, or to the person I encounter or run into or I'm sitting next to an airplane on, you know, and they ask me about my crucifix or something like that, or they ask me because they see me reading a book, you know, what my spiritual tradition may be. How many of us have had the experience of being afraid to speak? Well, that's a very good thing. We should know when we have nothing to say. In fact, we should know when we would be better off not opening our mouths at all in every area of life. But sadly, it seems as though the areas we really should keep our mouths shut in, we don't. And in the areas that we should desire to have something to say, we also do not seem to be seeking that. So as we come to this day that marks the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into human history, of a point which will be repeated when He returns again, let us take to heart all these things that we have heard of in the holy people that prepared the way of the Lord. And let us not forget that we are in that exact same setting as they, that we are called to the exact same mission as they, even a more glorious one, because we are the inheritors of the fullness of not only the faith, but of the glory and the saving work that God has done for all of humankind. Let us pray that we not be wasters of the things of our own economy to our salvation and to the glory of God. Amen.